From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. Thank you for tuning in this afternoon. Today is Municipal Election Day here in Juneau, and voters will decide on 3 assembly seats, 3 school board seats, and 3 key local tax measures. The KTOO newsroom was around town to chat with voters about their thoughts on the election, and reporter Clarice Larson brings us this story.
Thanks for voting, you guys.
Election workers empty out the ballot box outside City Hall on Tuesday morning as Jeff Shelton heads to cast his ballot. Shelton says he doesn't think any of the propositions should pass, but he took particular issue with Proposition 1. That measure seeks to cap the rate the city uses to determine how much residents pay in property taxes each year.
It just leads to a major step backwards in this community, which is losing population, losing influence, and is needing to make itself a bit healthy and a bit more attractive than it's doing. And that is not the way to do it.
Another resident outside City Hall, Lawrence Siverly, says he wasn't familiar with the candidates up for election. He came to vote on the ballot measures. He says he voted yes on Proposition 1 because his son is a homeowner here, and yes on Proposition 2, which would exempt essential food and residential utilities from local sales tax.
Since I'm a senior, I already have benefits for food, but I think that should be available for everybody that lives here.
But Siverly says he voted no on Proposition 3, which would implement a new seasonal sales tax system in Juneau next year. Proponents say the change would take advantage of the 1.7 million cruise passengers that come to town each year, while also giving year-round residents a break in the winter. But opponents say the system won't actually save residents money in the long run. Siverly says he voted against it because he doesn't want to pay a higher rate in the summer. Out in the Mendenhall Valley, Brian Fox walked outside the Mendenhall Valley Public Library after voting in person. Fox didn't share how he voted, but he says he wants to make things more livable in Juneau.
I know that the cost of living here, and I'm acquainted with it very well, having lived here and in Fairbanks previously, that the cost of many things is sky high, some of it a little out of proportion.
Back at City Hall, Lorray Jones is the volunteer supervisor for the election this year. Next to a stack of I Voted Today stickers featuring the Alaska state flag, she fills up a basket of candy for voters.
People have picked over the other ones.
Jones says Tuesday is the last evening people can vote.
People are wonderful. We love to have them come vote in person. And I just encourage everyone to vote. So if you haven't done it yet, please do it now.
The preliminary results of the election will be released on Tuesday night once ballot boxes and vote centers close. The initial results will only include ballots that were mailed in or dropped off before Election Day. Official results won't be certified by election officials until October 21st. With help from the rest of the KTOO news team, I'm Clarice Larson in Juneau.
The city vote centers and ballot drop boxes close at 8 p.m., and preliminary results will be shared later tonight. Find the latest election news at ktoo.org/election. And the state of Alaska is in the throes of studying what it would take to build a road that would, at least in theory, better connect Juneau, Haines, and Skagway. The Department of Transportation held open house-style meetings last week to inform the public about potential route options and get community feedback. The Alaska Desk's Avery Elfelt attended the one in Haines and has this report.
No road! No road! No road! No
that chant
road,
erupted about halfway through the open house meeting last week at the Haines Public Library. More than 50 people packed into the small space. Maps of the region, plus representatives from the state agency and a contracting company, lined the perimeter of the room. Everyone was there to discuss the so-called Chilkat Connector feasibility study. The state announced the effort in March and indicated it would examine building a road along the west side of the Lynn Canal. Greg Lockwood is a DOT project manager. During last week's meeting, he took question after question from residents who largely seemed concerned about the idea. He said the goal of the meeting was,
we're trying to show people, you know, what this project looks like, what potential benefits there are. We also want to understand everybody's concerns.
The idea of building a road between Juneau, Haines, and Skagway has been around for decades, but it's never come to fruition. Governor Mike Dunleavy's administration says a road would create more cost-effective and efficient transportation for the region. Some locals have expressed support for the idea, noting that the state ferry system is unreliable, but others are opposed for a long list of reasons. Attendee Shannon Donahue is among them. She initiated the No Road chant.
It's unlikely that this whole thing is going to come to fruition, but pieces will, you know, pieces may come to fruition. You know, roads to logging, roads to mines. And, you know, that can do a lot of damage. We're looking at...
Concerns also included the rugged terrain along the canal, which would complicate building a road and maintaining it, particularly during winter, plus implications for people traveling without a vehicle and potential environmental impacts of the road itself. Here's Sky Skiles, another attendee.
The Marine Highway is an excellent alternative. I think putting money into that to keep it in good shape is a better alternative than to cause so much damage to our environment.
The contractor is studying two main route options. One would entail a quick ferry ride, but long drive. The other would require a longer ferry ride and shorter drive. Both options seem to rely on a yet-to-be-built ferry terminal at Cascade Point, about 30 miles north of Juneau. The state signed an initial contract for that project this summer. The move also sparked local pushback, but was welcomed by a mining company planning an ore shipping facility in the same location. In a phone interview following the open house event, DOT's Lockwood said finding ways to benefit industry, in addition to communities, is part of the process.
Well, if we can find added value, you know, freight dock, if we can find, you know, a way for mining trucks coming from the Yukon or wherever to use that and stay out of town, and or if there's timber to be harvested, you know, that would all be value added that would, you know, help support this roadway and add positives and potentially, you know, help finance it too.
He emphasized that it's still early days and that the purpose of the study is to gather information to inform future decisions, not to make those decisions right away. The agency plans to have a draft report in December and a final version in January, which will be used to inform next steps. Reporting in Haines, I'm Avery Elfelt.
Top state lawmakers say they're investigating why $50 million from the state's primary savings account was invested in an outside private equity fund. Former Revenue Commissioner Adam Crum committed to investing $50 million in state dollars in the fund shortly before his resignation took effect, according to his successor. The political website Alaska Landmine first reported the news and identified the outside fund as Digital Bridge, a digital infrastructure investment firm. Crum, who's running for governor, did not respond to a request for comment on Monday. Senate President Gary Stevens, a Kodiak Republican, says he and the state House Speaker learned about the investment on a call with Governor Mike Dunleavy last week. He says they've asked the legislative auditor to look into it.
We're not accusing anybody of anything. We're trying to find the truth right now. We're in an investigative stage right now, as is the governor. I mean, he was very forthright in talking to us about this.
Stevens and House Speaker Bryce Edgemond issued a joint statement on Friday saying the state should not make future, quote, high-risk investments without involving the legislature. Dunleavy's office and the Department of Revenue did not respond to a series of questions seeking more information on the investment and whether it's consistent with the state's investment policies. Money for the investment comes from the state's main rainy day fund, the Constitutional Budget Reserve. Unlike the permanent fund, the reserve is typically invested in safe, cash-equivalent assets that are easy to sell quickly, like short-term U.S. Treasury bills. Lawmakers have repeatedly drawn from the account in recent years to fill gaps in the state budget. But private equity investments tend to be far less liquid, and Stevens says that undermines the purpose of the savings account.
We're concerned that what we've heard, whether it's a proper investment, whether we are tying up monies that we shouldn't be tying up. You know, we just have limited savings these days, and we need to be very careful about protecting those savings.
Stevens says he expects lawmakers will hold hearings on the issue. And as many Alaskans know, winter in the northern interior is brutal. And when temperatures dip into the negative 30s, the sun sets in the afternoon, it can be tough for people dealing with seasonal depression. As the Alaska Desk's Shelby Herbert tells us, one man in Fairbanks has a unique antidote to his winter blues, balloon art.
In the summer months, Bill Torgerson is kind of like a professional clown, sans makeup. For about a decade, his full-time job has been making balloon animals, ninja swords, and other balloon objects for kids at birthday parties, bar mitzvahs, and public festivals. At a Labor Day barbecue, he was wearing a big yellow bow tie and towering over a long line of kids that looped around his booth. He'll make them anything they want.
The only thing that really ever holds me back is the amount of balloons and the amount of time that I've got, so.
10-year-old Ellen Schreiner asked for a hamburger.
And I don't think he's, like, really made that one before because he was like, but then he made it for me.
But right about now, that work drops off. He still does some indoor events, but it's slow. And with snow starting to fall already in interior Alaska, the part of the year that's hardest for him is getting started. In Fairbanks, cold air can create a temperature inversion, trapping wood smoke and other pollution close to the ground like fog. And on the coldest days, touching exposed metal can give you frostbite in an instant. That's when Torgerson, who lives with severe clinical depression, feels the most vulnerable.
Right after like the holiday season, a lot of people end up getting really depressed during like January. And so like me in particular, I have a lot of struggles with that.
What helps him keep his spirits up are bigger and wilder balloon art creations that he just does for his own enjoyment. For example, an almost 13-foot tall Godzilla costume made of balloons that covers his entire body, or a giant balloon chandelier, or a car-sized replica of the Eiffel Tower.
And it really helps keep me going for the most part. It is basically the fresh breath of life that I'm kind of hoping to put out there that I need for myself.
He shows those projects off on TikTok to an audience of over 30,000 followers.
Hi, everybody. I'm Incrediballoons. I'm going to teach you how to make some incredible balloons today.
His most popular videos have around 500,000 views.
I like the idea of being able to bring something so unique and so literally big to my small town.
This winter, he's trying to break the Guinness World Record for the tallest balloon costume. He's doing Godzilla again, only this time spikier, greener, and 15 feet tall. Reporting in Fairbanks, I'm Shelby Herbert.
And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's 49 degrees and cloudy this afternoon. And tomorrow and Thursday look like they could be clear and sunny with highs in the low 50s. You're listening to KTOO. For more news, go to ktoo.org.